Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Abdul Nasser Jengda, and you're listening to the Qalam podcast. For 15 years, Qalam has had a tradition that in the last nights of the month of Ramadan, the blessed nights, we gather together, all the different scholars and teachers and instructors at Qalam all come together to have a night of prayer, reflection, and dua. And we call this the Qalam Qiyam. Alhamdulillah, this has become a beautiful tradition at Qalam. And the following recordings are from the Qalam Qiyam in Ramadan of 2024. I hope and pray that you find this beneficial. As always, please continue to support all the amazing work that goes on at Qalam by visiting supportqalam.com. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
I want to sincerely thank everybody for being patient tonight. We were definitely underestimated, mashallah, bismillah, mashallah, the crowd. And that, of course, added to the time. But what else do we have to do on a night like this, honestly? Mm-hmm. Alhamdulillah. Ramadan's almost over. You know, I was getting my hair cut in San Francisco, and there was a Syrian barber, Zuhair, and it was the middle. It's a humble brag. I was getting a very tight fade. Captain Kaza. I was with him and I asked him, you know, just like casually when you see a Muslim person in the month of Ramadan, what do you ask them? How's your Ramadan, right? And I said, Kayf Ramadan? And he said, Wallahi Sadiqi. He says, my friend. And I thought, what an amazing personification of this month. Mm. Like, when you're hanging out with somebody and you're having a good time, like, you don't want, number one, the time flies. Yes. And number two, like, you don't want it to end. Mm-hmm. And it was like the middle of Ramadan when he said this. And you could tell in his voice there was like obviously some happiness, but a little bit of sadness. Mm-hmm. And he said, I love Ramadan, it's my friend. May Allah Ta'ala make us always good friends of this month. Bismillah walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. In Surah Al-Baqarah, toward the end of the chapter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions the command to give sadaqah. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu anfiqu min tayyibati ma kasabtum. He says that, O you who believe, give infaq, give charitably from the good things that you have acquired. In the next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about something that many of us have probably experienced. And again, this isn't like a case study, but tonight during the fundraiser, if you were here, Sheikh Abdul Nasser, he tried to hit a grand slam. And he said, Assalamu alaikum everybody, we're doing the fundraiser. Who here wants to give $100,000? And we laugh, but there were two people that gave. And even more beautifully, when we went around the room and did the $1,000 lightning round, this community together did over $125,000. Allahu Akbar. So Allah Ta'ala tells us in the Quran that even though we might have the capacity for something, there are also these certain sensitive nerves that we have. And one of those nerves, one of those sensitivities that every human being has, is what the scholars call حُبّ الدُّنْيَا, the love of this world. حُبّ الدُّنْيَا, it manifests in different ways, but it all generally centers around the same thing, which is preferring the material world over Allah. And the opposite of that disease is called زُهْد. The cure for that disease, or the state that is the remedy of حُبّ الدُّنْيَا, is called زُهْد. زُهْد then, by definition, is when a person prefers Allah over the material world. And they have that preference. So in the next verse, Allah Ta'ala tells us that Shaytan, who knows us pretty well, he utilizes the strategy of knowing our weakness. الشَّيْطَانُ يَعِدُكُمُ الْفَقْرَ وَيَأْمُرُكُمْ بِالْفَحْشَاءِ. Shaytan understands that this حُبّ الدُّنْيَا thing lives within us. And as a result of that, he sits and waits. You know, they say lies in waiting. Like, he sits and waits and plots and uses every opportunity in life, every uncertain opportunity in life or uncertainty in life, to somehow manipulate and navigate us to the destination of, this is going to ruin my life. How will I be able to pay my bills? How will I be able to do this, this, this? The worst case scenario. And shaytan, Allah is using the verb, ya'idukum. He promises, he guarantees for you, al-faqr. Faqr is poverty. That you're going to be in a state, you're going to be destitute. You will not be able to take care of yourself or your family. And as a result of that poverty, وَيَأْمُرُكُمْ بِالْفَحْشَاءِ He commands you to do things that go directly against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, things that are disgusting and despicable, things that are detestable because, well, this is going to save me from poverty. And ultimately, وَاللَّهُ يَعِدُكُمْ مَغْفِرَةً مِنْهُ وَفَضْلًا وَاللَّهُ وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ Allah ta'ala always guarantees and promises for us two things. Number one, His forgiveness and His favor and His bounty. And Allah ta'ala is the one who is all-knowing and His knowledge is all-encompassing. The path to Allah that I wanted to share tonight is the path of learning to not trust the promise of shaytan. Zuhud is when a person can look at anything in front of them and decide that no matter what material shine or what material desire that this thing might fulfill, Allah's promise is greater than the promise of shaytan. And I don't need to try to use this dunya to fill any sort of void or vacancy in my soul if I have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Think about this for a second. When Sheikh Abdul Nasser gets up and fundraises, what do you think the first thing is that goes through the mind of every person? When he says, who wants to give this much? We all think the same way. How much can I give? Now we know, because the fundraiser usually says, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, charity will never be decreased, or wealth will never be decreased by charity. If you give charity, it will never take away from your wealth. And if I asked you, do you believe in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? You'd say, yeah, of course, I'm Muslim. But there's a disconnect. And that disconnect is fueled by our love of the dunya. Acquire more, acquire more, acquire more. And there's no doubt, and I can say this with absolute certainty, that we are a generation that as much as we try and as good as we are and as much as Allah has blessed us with hidayah and effort and ikhlas and sincerity, we are struggling deeply with the disease of love of this world. Brand names that mean nothing are stealing our money. Keeping up with the Joneses. Weddings that cost amounts that would make people blush. Makeup artists that charge just to put blush for that wedding. The insanity. And then, does anyone here ever, have you ever looked at like a relief website overseas and seen how much it costs to take care of somebody in Yemen for one day? Have you seen like for $10 you can feed a family of seven for one day? $10. There are lattes that cost $10 in this country. You get a poorly pulled shot and 10 ounces of burned milk for yourself, and you could have actually taken care and fed an orphan for an entire week with that money. But somehow, someway, الشَّيْطَانُ يَعِدُكُمُ الْفَقْرِ When it comes to donating the $10, shaitan says, you're going to be broke. But when it comes to spending it on ourselves, shaitan says, keep going. That is حُرْب الدُّنْيَا. And the opposite, are you ready for this? Zuhud is when you're at the store and you look at the thing and you say, if I buy that, I'm going to go broke. But when you're scrolling and you see the chance to donate, you say, let's do this. Because you're so detached from this world that when you see an opportunity to please Allah, you know that that's where your money actually belongs. That's where your heart actually belongs. That's where your investment actually belongs. And people who can do this, may Allah make us amongst them. People, the zuhad, those people who don't care. I mean, really, Sheikh and I were trying to translate zuhud for a long time the other day. They just don't care. They just don't care. In the same way, right? And Sheikh told me this a long time ago that one of his teachers, told him that your iman is contingent upon one measurement, and that measurement is how much you can look around the world and see that everything is just made from dust. Like the brand name is irrelevant, right? It doesn't matter. What is this? Which iPhone is this? Which model is this? How much storage does it have? All of that is irrelevant. You see the cars and you don't care what the logo on the car says. You don't look at somebody and measure them based on the brands that you're assuming that they're wearing. All of this stuff is the promise of shaitan. It's the fruits of the promise of shaitan. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises us that if we can defeat ourselves in this, then He will promise us mercy, forgiveness, and great bounty and favor. May Allah ta'ala give us this. I want to share with you one narration and then I'm done. And this narration is the example of the greatest human being to ever have lived, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Who better to exemplify what this meant than him? This hadith brings tears to the eyes of anyone who reads it. Because this is the person that we love the most, Al-Habib, Al-Mustafa. The one that we say when we tell his stories, I love him more than I love myself. And you have this moment of I love him more than I love myself from none other than Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. Umar, he reports, this hadith in Sahih Muslim. Umar, he reports, I entered the room of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam while he was lying down on his side. He was relaxing. I sat down next to him. And as I sat down next to him, he kind of sat up and he lifted his garment, right? Like, you know how you're laying down and then you sat up and you kind of straighten yourself up? He sat up and he lifted his garment. I saw that in his torso, on his like abdomen and kind of like on the side of his body that he was lying down on, when he adjusted and sat up and when he sat straight, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I noticed something that really bothered me. Umar is saying this. What did he notice? He said, I noticed that the straw mat that the Prophet ﷺ was sitting on, I saw these marks, these lines on his body, and I wondered, where did that come from? And then I looked at the mat and I realized these lines, this indentation was from the bed of the Messenger of God. And so, in shock, I looked from his abdomen and then I looked into his cupboard, his little area, right? Little maybe cubby in his room. And all I saw was a handful, this mount, of grain, rice, barley. And I looked next to that and there were just some leaves. Just some leaves that they would boil and they would mash up and they would eat. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Umar said, I saw all these things and I started to cry. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to me, oh Umar, why are you crying? And you can almost hear like the smile in his tone. Ya Umar, what's making you cry? And Umar, he says, Ya Nabi Allah, he says, وَمَا لِي لَأَبْكِي. Why is it that I would cry? And he says, when the Caesar, meaning like the Roman leader, and the Persian leader, Khosrau, they are living in palaces of luxury and comfort. And then I come to you, Allah's chosen messenger, the best of all of creation, and you're sitting here and your bed is leaving marks on your side, which means it can't be comfortable. And I look in your cupboard and there's a handful of grain and a few leaves. And he said, when I compare them to you, it's just not fair. It's not fair that they have more than you. You're the messenger of Allah. You're the best of all of creation. And so I cry when I see that you are not given as much as them. And the Prophet ﷺ, he he looks at him and he says, Ya ibn al-Khattab. He says, Ala tarda an takuna lana al-akhiratu wa lahum ad-dunya. He says, you're misunderstanding the nature of this world. Are you not pleased, Ya Umar, that when it comes to them, they're going to have the dunya, that's fine, but we get the akhirah instead? They might have the palaces here and the cushions here, but Allah Ta'ala describes us in Jannah as what? Muttaki'ina, right? We're leaning back on what? On the cushions and the pillows in Jannah, being served. See, the Prophet ﷺ was not just a genius, a master of the mind, a master of the heart. He was also a master of his own nafs. And his zuhud, his ability to not care about the world, that would literally make other people cry when they saw the state he was in. For him, he was able to be like, I don't even notice this. I'm okay with it. Umar was misinterpreting in that moment, as any of us would, it's a human thing, that if you are beloved by God, that God would give you more. You're the messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the Prophet ﷺ taught him and taught us a valuable lesson. And that is that if you are beloved by Allah, Allah brings you closer to Him. And sometimes Allah brings you closer to Him by removing the dunya from your life. Because the dunya, there's a reason why it starts with a D, is a distraction. And if a person can get rid of the dunya, meaning they can leave it outside of their desire, they can get it out of their hand, they can say, you know what, I don't care, out of their heart, I don't care about this. Now this person has truly entered into a state, into a place where anything at all matters. And this is why the Prophet ﷺ, he said, لَوْ أُهْدِيَ قُرَاعٌ لَقَبِلْتُهُ لَقَبِلْتَهُ. He said that if I were gifted a dry bone from somebody, I would accept it. The Prophet ﷺ was not somebody that would look at gifts and measure the gifts and say, oh, I'm the messenger of Allah, you should have given me this, this, this. For him, it was the thought that counted. Ramadan gives us the inspiration to become people that disconnect and detach from the dunya. At Maghrib, what do you guys want to eat? You said it. She shook her head. She goes, anything. You nailed it. That's exactly right. If somebody at Maghrib has a choice about what they're eating, they haven't felt Ramadan yet. They haven't felt it. Cravings are okay. We all have cravings. But if someone is like, hey, do you want to break fast with us? Sure, what are you having? No, you haven't felt Ramadan yet. Ramadan is supposed to reduce us to the point where it's, hey, do you want to eat with me? Yes, anything, please. Dates, water, napkin, I'll eat it. Right? Eye drops, I heard that breaks my fast. I'll take those. You know, whatever it takes. Because the path of the person that is trying to get close to Allah, it includes phases and seasons of deprivation. And as Ibn Ata'illah says, رُبَّ مَنَعَكَ فَأَعْطَاكَ وَرُبَّ عَطَاكَ فَمَنَعَكَ. He says, sometimes Allah takes from you, and when He takes, He's actually giving you something. And sometimes He gives you something, but He's actually depriving you of something. We see deprivation as a way to get closeness to Allah. Ramadan teaches us that when He takes something from us, He's actually bringing us closer to Him. We ask Allah Ta'ala to give us this tawfiq, and that we become people who love Him more than we love the world. Barakallahu feekum.